church. Let's stand in the house this morning. We serve an awesome God. Amen. Yes.
Well, I've searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade, they're never enough. Then you came along.
Thank you, Lord.
You put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied here in your love.
Let's tell him this morning there's nothing.
Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord.
Better than you,
there's nothing,
And you are the same God. Sing that.
I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations. I know that you will keep your covenant.
Oh. His face shine.
generations, your family, your children, their children.
Yes, amen.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, your family, your children, and their children, and their children. May his favor be upon you. Children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you in the morning, in the evening, and you're coming and you're going, and you're weeping and rejoicing.
Just lift our hands and receive the blessing of the Lord right now. Just thank him for his blessing upon us today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you and thank you and praise you. You are the source of our blessing today. You are everything to us, Lord. Thank you for your favor, Lord. Thank you for the blessing of your presence, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your favor and love, your mercy and grace, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your love endures forever, O God. Oh, your record in our lives is a record of your faithfulness to us, O God. We bless you and we praise your name today, Father. I pray, O Lord, over this congregation today that you would speak, Lord, to each person where we are at the point of our need today, Lord. You would draw near to us as we draw near to you this morning, O Lord. That you would satisfy the longing of our hearts today, O God. That you would calm the storms, O Lord, that are raging, perhaps even within us. We pray, O God, that you would settle us, O Lord, in your presence today. May we feel the peace of God and the sweet joy of the Lord rising within our hearts today. May we acknowledge you, Lord, as the source of every good blessing, every good thing that we enjoy, Lord. May we enter into your presence today, O God, and just receive from you, Lord, your fresh anointing, your fresh blessing, Lord. Your fresh strength, Father. Oh, we thank you and we bless you today. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Can we just for a moment lift our voices in praise to the Lord? Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the mighty name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord today. Oh, we lift you up today, O Lord, and glorify you. You are worthy to be praised. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Mighty is our God. Mighty is our God. Mighty is the Lord our God. Oh, we call you faithful today, O Lord. We call you holy today, O Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, just for another moment. Let's sing the amen to the faithfulness of the Lord. Sing it out now. Upon us today as his children. Do you sense that this morning? The blessing of the Lord is resting upon us today as God's children, whom he dearly loves. And we love our Father as well, don't we? We love our Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus, the precious Holy Spirit, our Comforter and Counselor. We love the Lord today. We thank Him for His closeness to us this morning. Amen. Well, take a moment before you're seated this morning, please, to look around you and greet one another and welcome everybody to church today, please, if you would. This is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice and are glad in it today. Of the Lord is so good. The worship of the Lord is so beautiful today. I could just stay in that all day long. And we thank the Lord for His faithfulness and His love and the sense of His presence today. And we appreciate our worship team so much for leading us today. Thank you, worship team, for being a blessing to our congregation week after week after week. And we welcome everybody who's here today or joining us online this morning. We want to say a special word of welcome to anybody who might be visiting with us today. Today we have our new welcome center open, and we'll have that staffed today. And if you are here for the first time, we would love for you to stop by the welcome center located in the lobby. Today, we have a small gift for you out there. We would also appreciate it if you'd fill out a connection card. The new connection cards are located in the seats right in front of you. And we also would say to you that there's another new card. Take it out if you want to. There's an invite card there in the seats in front of you that is new as well as of today, and a card that you might carry along with you, those cards to use to invite somebody to church and invite them to come and join us here for a church service. Those are available in the Welcome Center as well if you'd like more of those, and we're just glad to have you with us today. We want to remind you again this morning of the passing of Sister Elaine Thrasher, our Pastor Carol Holum's mother. Went home to be with the Lord early this week, and she was quite a precious lady of God, a minister of the gospel herself, who pastored with her husband for many, many years. And Sister Thrasher's homegoing service will be conducted tomorrow morning. Carol Holum's mother, service will be tomorrow morning at First Assembly of God in St. James, Missouri. That's about an hour from here. Visitation will be at 9 o'clock, and the funeral service will be at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. And so if you cannot be at that service yourself, we encourage you to be praying that the Lord will bless that service and bless the family as well, and continue to pray that Sister Carol would experience the touch of the Lord. She's been dealing with sickness this past week and is on the mend, and we pray that she would really feel the invigorating strength of the Lord today, that God would really lift her this morning even. We want to thank all of those who helped with the back-to-school party this past Friday night. 23 signed up and over 100 showed up. And Pastor Ryan was involved in doing a food multiplication. How many of you know that we still need to be able to multiply the bread and fish today? And Pastor Ryan was busy. What Pastor Ryan really was doing was scrounging around in the kitchen for old bags of potato chips and all of those kinds of things. But it was a great back-to-school party, and we thank everybody who helped with that. This Thursday night is our 50-plus taco bar, 5:30 in the gym. I don't know if you need to sign up for that or not. You probably know if you do. If you need to, give a call to Nancy at the church office sometime, or let us know at the Welcome Center. And meet the new director of our Welcome Center, State Representative Sarah Walsh. She is the new director of our Welcome Center. Sarah, from now on, we will assign anyone with anything they need to go to you. And so you can sign them up for the taco. Have you ever been to a taco bar, Sarah? All right, Sarah will sign you up for the taco bar if you'd like to be a part of that this Thursday evening. We also want to remind you that the young adults will be taking a float trip this Saturday. Stand up, Pastor Mason. Pastor Mason will be leading the float trip this Saturday. And we hope he can swim. If he can't swim, he's tall enough to just walk through the water. To you. And so if you're interested in more information about the float trip, see Pastor Mason today. We also just want to send out a quick word. Several have mentioned to me that they would be interested in starting a new season of life groups. And if you are interested in home life groups, I'll tell you what, let me know if you are willing to host a life group. Or if you'd like to participate in a life group, and we're looking at launching a new season of our life groups. We're accustomed before COVID to doing that on Sunday evenings, but we can be flexible with that, so let me know if you have an interest in that. We want to invite you, as always, to join us this Wednesday night for our Wednesday night midweek services. Our Bible study in the sanctuary here is wrapping up 1 Corinthians. We'll be in that great resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this Wednesday night. We invite you to be a part of that. Youth ministries and kids ministries also on Wednesday nights, and we'd love to see you here this Wednesday night. We also want to say a word of thanksgiving to you for your faithful tithing and giving here at First Assembly. Our church ministries function upon the provision of God through the tithes and offerings of God's people, and we have so many faithful tithers and givers here at First Assembly. You may give in the drop boxes at the back of the sanctuary, at the back of the balcony, out in the lobby, or online as well, and we appreciate your faithfulness so very, very much. We're going to stand again to sing one more worship song. As we do, Shelley Feeler, happy 60th birthday. And yes. I did not know Shelley was that young, but I congratulate, no, I mean that old, but we congratulate Shelley, and let's sing together. Oh, one of my all-time favorite hymns today. Let's sing it with might today. Blessed Assurance.
Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. There is salvation. There
Amen. Yes, you may be seated this morning. Let's look to John chapter 1 this morning and begin with verse number 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. What do you say about yourself? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. Everybody say John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He, John, himself was not that light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, 'Make straight the way for the Lord.'" Would you say amen? Amen. Today's question, what do you say about yourself? Or we could rephrase it like this. Who are you as a follower of Jesus Christ? Who are you in Christ? As a believer, what is my self-definition, my identity, maybe even my self-worth? Who am I as a follower of Jesus? Some have been prideful and over-exaggerated their self-identity. They think they're God's gift to the world. God does give gifts to the world in the way of people, but some think that they are the best of all gifts. Some are over-exaggerated and mistaken in their self-identity. Others have a pitiful, underestimated self-identity and do not realize just who they are in the Lord Jesus Christ as a follower, as a believer in Jesus. The scriptures tell us how to think about ourselves. In fact, the best recipe for a poor self-esteem is to follow Jesus and get into the scriptures. The scriptures provide for us definitions about ourselves. Our example today is John the Baptist. John chapter 1 records his entrance into the Bible record. Now, in case you're wondering this morning, there are two Johns that we're thinking about as we read the first chapter of the Gospel of John. John the Apostle is writing this passage about John the Baptist. Two Johns, and there's a Jesus in the story as well. John, and Jesus. Aren't you glad that they didn't name Jesus John? John, and their other brother John. No. We've got John the Apostle, who is writing this gospel near the end of the first century, maybe 90 AD, John is writing, and he's writing about John the Baptist, who had been active in his ministry in the late 20s AD and died around sometime before 30 AD. John the Baptist died sometime before Jesus died on the cross. And as John the Apostle remembers and writes about John the Baptist, he writes about John's testimony regarding himself. John the Baptist was a preacher, a prophet, an evangelist. His primary role was to get people ready for Jesus to come onto the scene in his ministry. So the ministry of John the Baptist predated just barely the ministry of Jesus. We have John the Baptist saying, get ready, get ready, get ready. The Messiah is coming. And John performs that ministry. And then overlapping just a little bit then, we have Jesus coming into his ministry. And John the Baptist continues until the Lord takes him home through the process of martyrdom as John the Baptist is killed because of his prophetic ministry. When John the Baptist came onto the scene, you know, the people of God had been waiting for centuries for a Messiah to come, a Savior, a deliverer to come. They didn't know exactly what he would be like. Some had mistaken identities about what the Messiah would do. Some thought he would be a political ruler, a government leader. Jesus would come with spiritual purposes to change the hearts of men and women. But people wondered when John came onto the scene first, could this John be the Messiah we're waiting for? And they come to ask John about his identity, and they ask John, well, who are you? What do you say about yourself? What they were asking is, are you the Messiah? And John answers clearly and concisely. It's his answer that's going to be the subject matter of our study this morning. As the religious leaders ask John, what do you say about yourself? John provides basically three simple answers about who he is in relation to the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus. John's first answer is this: I am not the Savior. Now, I want to say to you this morning that as Christian believers, that ought to be the first answer that we know when somebody asks about who we are spiritually. How many of you know you are not the Savior? Okay? And John the Baptist knew that and answered that question clearly. What do you say about yourself? John began by saying, I am not the Savior. I'm not the Messiah you're waiting for. John chapter 1, verse 6, there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was what? Not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Verse 19. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Christ. I am not the Savior. And as John makes that declaration, he's pointing people away from himself to somebody else. He is deflecting the attention that is coming toward him, because John had a powerful ministry. John preached and people were baptized and repented. John had a powerful ministry. But as they questioned him about whether or not he was the Messiah, John deflected all of that attention and said, I'm not the Savior. Somebody else is the Savior. It's Jesus who is the Savior who's coming into the world. And John teaches us four things about Jesus that belong to our declaration as well. Jesus, first, is the Lord and leader. Verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, with a capital W. That Word is Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, who lived in eternity past with his heavenly Father. Jesus, the Son of God, the Holy Spirit, the heavenly Father, the eternal Trinitarian Godhead has existed throughout all of eternity past and will exist through all of eternity present. In fact, we see things on a temporal line, on a timeline as human beings, but God is above time and God is eternal. And Jesus, before Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, he was the Son of God, reigning and ruling with his heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit in heaven. And John says Jesus is the Lord and leader. He was in the beginning, he was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Lord. 2, Jesus then is the lifted and laudable one. Verse 14, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John says, if you're going to glorify somebody, don't glorify me. If you're going to put somebody on a pedestal, don't put me on the pedestal. If you're going to praise somebody, John the Baptist said, don't praise me. The praise doesn't belong to me. How many of you know sometimes we need to learn that lesson as well? The glory does not belong to us. The glory belongs to the Lord. As the Apostle Paul would write, quoting the Old Testament, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. John deflected the attention from himself because it may have been very easy for people to say, look at John the Baptist. Oh, what a mighty man of God he is. Oh, what a powerful ministry. Oh, how awesome he is. How dynamic he is. You know, friends, even in today's culture and today's world, ministers rise up in popularity and people pledge their attention and their devotion. And it seems almost their praise to some man, some woman who's involved in the work of the ministry. But John the Baptist would be quick to say the glory and the praise and the honor and the notoriety does not belong to a person, it belongs to the Lord Jesus. He is the lifted and the laudable one. Thirdly, I am not the Savior, John says. Jesus is the limitless and lasting one. Notice what John says about Jesus in verse 15. John testifies concerning him. He cries out saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Doesn't that sound like a puzzle? Jesus, John says, Jesus was both before me and he'll be after me. He has surpassed me. And the surpassing will be in the level of his ministry and in the power of the work that he accomplishes. John the Baptist was preaching a message about repentance before God. Jesus was and is God. Amen. There's a vast difference between those two things. Do you see that? So Jesus is the limitless and the lasting one. In fact, before Jesus would conclude his ministry, John the Baptist would be murdered in prison. His head would be cut off and brought on a platter to the wicked king and to, a young girl there. It would be a tragic end to the life and ministry of John the Baptist. But John recognized from the beginning that his ministry was limited, but the ministry of Jesus was lasting and eternal. How many of you, well, let me not ask that question. Well, let me ask that question. How many of you have, well, let me not ask that question. Some of you have had in your life people involved in the ministry who were very near and dear to you, but eventually their ministries concluded and they went the way of all the earth and made their way to heaven. And their ministry among us and their ministry to you was concluded. Perhaps there were lingering results of their ministry, yes, but their ministry is completed. But how many of you know today, hallelujah, Jesus' ministry to us never finishes. He's with us. One comes along and departs. Another comes along and departs. But Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is the limitless and lasting one. I can tell you, friends, I don't care whether you live to be 114 years old. Jesus will be there for you every day of your life. When others fail and fall, and when others just conclude their portion, their season of ministry, Jesus will be there. That, for that very reason, dear friends, we ought to put all of our eggs in one basket when it comes to receiving. We ought to recognize that Jesus is the answer for everything we need. He is the limitless and the lasting one. Fourthly, when John says, I am not the Savior, John is saying Jesus is the liberator and the life-saver. Verse 9, John the apostle writes, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. John was not the light, but he was witnessing to the true light. What's his name? Who is the true light? Jesus. John said Jesus was coming into the world. John the Baptist was about to witness to that. It's as if we could almost see it. In fact, it was almost like this. Jesus comes walking under the scene, and John the Baptist sees him from a distance and points over at Jesus and says, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Do you notice then that when John is in the middle of doing all of his great ministry, when Jesus arrives on the scene, John backs up and shrinks down and says, I must decrease so that he might increase. And John humbles himself and points over to Jesus, the Son of God, and says, there's the one you need right there. Jesus. He is the liberator and the life saver. If you want a savior, don't look to a preacher, don't look to a prophet, don't look to a Bible study leader, don't look to a grandma or a grandpa or a sainted mom. If you want somebody to save your life, look to Jesus. He is the liberator and the life saver. Not only is that true today, but let me just remind you that you can't save anybody either. You can direct them to Jesus. You can minister and assist with the process, but real saving power and life-changing work takes place because of Jesus Christ. John says, when they ask him, who are you, what do you say about yourself? John says, well, the first thing I want you to know, I am not the Savior. The second answer from John the Baptist, when they said, well, what do you say about yourself? John answered, well, I am not the somebodies of Scripture. Not only am I not the Savior, but look at verse 21. They ask him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Now, what were those questions about? Surely they knew that Elijah the prophet had lived centuries earlier. We know that. And yet there was this mysterious prophecy laid down in the last book of the Old Testament that before the Messiah comes, God would send Elijah the prophet to prepare the way before him. It wouldn't be a literal reincarnation of Elijah. It would be someone coming in the spirit of Elijah. Now, Jesus would define for us later that John the Baptist was indeed the one who came in the spirit of Elijah. But the Jewish leaders were saying, are you Elijah? Come back to us. Do you remember, is everybody awake this morning? Here's our Bible quiz for the day. Can somebody tell me the names of the two men in the Bible who never died? Enoch and Elijah. And because Elijah never died, he went up to heaven in a whirlwind. You know, the religious leaders here were thinking Elijah was somehow going to come back, maybe in that same fashion. So they said, well, are you Elijah? He said, no, I'm not Elijah. They said, well, then, are you the prophet? Well, what prophet are they talking about? Well, they're talking about a prophet that had been predicted by Moses in the book of Deuteronomy. Moses would say to the people of Israel, one of these days, God is going to send among you a prophet like me. And when he comes, you better listen to him. Moses had made that prophecy. And because of that, the people of Israel, again, were waiting for that fulfillment of that prophecy. Some big prophet is coming who is going to change everything. They said, are you that prophet? And John answered, no. Well, they could have asked, well, are you Isaiah? Are you Ezekiel? Are you Jonah, come out of the whale? Are you Moses? They could have asked a million questions. John would have said, no, I'm not the somebodies of Scripture. There are a lot of people involved in this process of the coming of the Messiah. I'm not any of those people. Think about this with me. John is saying here, no, I'm in my own place here. I'm serving my own unique role here. I'm not a copycat of anybody else. I am what the Lord has designed me to be. Are you listening this morning? So when we think about that and John's clear revelation that he is not Elijah, he's not the prophet, he's not somebody else from Scripture, we would have to hear John saying, and we say that we applaud. I applaud the efforts and effectiveness of others. How many of you know that I don't have to be Billy Graham? How many of you know that I am not Billy Graham? Okay. I am not Billy Graham. I am not, I could name 40 preachers who've been famous over the last 100 years. I'm not any of those. But look at me, everybody. I don't have to be. Not only am I not any of those, but God has not called me to be any of those. He's called me to be me. So I applaud the efforts and effectiveness of others. Hebrews 3:5 says, Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. The reality is, just because you are your own person in Christ Jesus does not mean that somehow you can't appreciate and applaud the ministry of others. Friends, listen to me. You do not have to put others down to be secure yourself. Are you here this morning? I don't have to stand in the pulpit every Sunday and run down every other pastor in Jefferson City to try to convince people that here I am and I'm better and nobody else is worth it. That would be a huge mistake, wouldn't it be? You don't have to put others down in order to arrive at your place in the Lord and serve your purpose in the Lord. I applaud the efforts and effectiveness of others. Secondly, I affirm the employment and elevation of others. When God chooses somebody else for some other role, that's up to God, isn't it? Listen to what 1 Samuel 12:6, then Samuel said to the people, it is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and brought your forefathers up out of Egypt. It's the Lord's business to appoint one and to appoint another. Isn't that right? So I can't sit around worrying that God hasn't appointed me to be the commander-in-chief of all the churches. I can look at the general superintendent, the Assemblies of God, and I can say, I'm not called to that office. I'm called to pastor First Assembly in Jefferson City, Missouri. I'm not called to do this, that, or the other. My focus is what the Lord has focused me on. Isn't that right? So I affirm the employment and elevation of others. When God chooses others, I have to affirm that, and I have to acknowledge it is God's business to raise up one and put one here and put one there. Isn't that right? When I recognize that that is the Lord's business, I don't have to sit around sweating over what I'm not. I can rejoice in who I am in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? So I affirm the employment and elevation of others. Thirdly, I appreciate the encouraging examples of others. I appreciate the example of Billy Graham, a faithful, godly minister who lived his life, did his ministry, worked faithfully, and was an encouragement till the very last few words that he was ever able to speak as an old, old man. I appreciate the examples of others that encourage me. So though I am not somebody else, how many of you know I can learn from other people? And I can look at somebody and say, God has put that person there. That person is faithful. That person is an encouraging example to me. So I appreciate all of these things. I appreciate what others do and who others are in Christ. However, look at the fourth point. I cannot afford to envy and emulate others. Listen, friends, it's a miserable life always wishing you were somebody else or that you had what somebody else had. Are you listening this morning? It's a miserable life living your life wishing that you had the ministry that somebody else has been given by the Lord. Huh? Are you here? I've lived that in the ministry. I have been around the ministry long enough to have seen people who were eaten up and consumed with envy and bitterness because they were not where somebody else was, doing what that somebody else was doing, appreciating the level of visible worldly success that that person was experiencing. I want you to know it is a miserable way to live wishing you were somebody else, that you were somewhere else, that God had done something else with you, and that somehow, you know, you don't measure up to anybody. That is miserable. We need to get to the place where we become satisfied with who God has created us to be. And then we need to live our lives with the fullness of zeal and enthusiasm and energy, fulfilling what God has called us to do and what God has called us to be. That's not, but we can't afford to worry about somebody else. At the end of the Gospel of John, Peter and Jesus were having a conversation. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. And when Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Listen to Jesus' response. Jesus answered to Peter, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Do you hear that today? That is the first time Jesus said to somebody, in my estimation, that's none of your business. Let me encourage you to stop worrying about what everybody else is doing for Jesus and mind your own P's and Q's. Are you here? Now do your own thing. You know, we live in a church world where many, many people spend their whole lives critiquing others while doing nothing themselves. Are you here? Are you here? Many years ago, I stood in the gym with a family who'd been in our church for a while. They'd been to this church, that church, this church, the other church. They began in a group of about eight people to say, well, we came from that other church out there. When we left that other church, nobody called us. Nobody said anything. Nobody ever reached out to us when we left. And they were going on and on. This guy was, he was going on and on to everybody, bad-mouthing this other church by name. And I said, well, hold on a minute now. I said, well, let me ask you something. Do you call people when they disappear from church? When was the last time somebody stopped coming and you called them and said, hey, we sure have been missing you? I said, do you do that? The answer was no. And the conversation closed right there. Are you awake today? Yeah, sometimes we're worried about what everybody else is doing when we're not doing anything ourselves. A simple example, but the truth is, it's our business to be sure we are the people God has called us to be and that we're doing what God has called us to do, right? So when they said to John, well, what do you say about yourself? He said, well, I'm not the Savior. I'm not the somebody's of Scripture. But three, here's the positive answer John gave. I am secure as a son and a servant. I'm secure in my place in the Lord. John 1:22, finally they said, well, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet. How many of you know you cannot go wrong with quoting Scripture? He replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord. Do you see then that John the Baptist had an important ministry to fulfill? Right? So was he Elijah? No. Was he Moses? No. Was he Jesus? No. But what God had assigned to him was critically important. And John says, I'm secure. I'm a son and a servant. Notice these four realities about our identity in Christ that we hear echoed in John's answers. One, my identity is rooted in salvation and sonship. Look at me, everybody. Your first level of identifying yourself is to understand that you are a child of God. Huh? That Jesus has saved you. That it's Jesus who has washed your sins away, changed your life, made you a new creation, brought you into the family of God, that you live, as we sang this morning, under the blessing of God and in the favor of God, even as the word through the gifts of the Spirit said this morning, not because of who you are in yourself, but because of the love and the grace and the gift of God through Jesus Christ. You are a child of God. Everybody say, I'm a child of God. Yes, my identity is rooted in salvation and sonship. And friends, I want you to understand that when we get to heaven someday, though there's going to be some kind of a rewarding process, we know that. But in heaven, we're not going to have first class, second class, third class, and honorable mention class citizens. We're going to be in the family, children of the living God, living and rejoicing in the blessing of the Lord forever. And I want to tell you, we're going to be grateful to be part of the family. My identity is rooted in being saved and being a child of God. Secondly, my identity is rooted in the Savior's supply. Verse 16, John chapter 1, verse 16, the apostle John writes, from the fullness of God's grace, we have all received one blessing after another. Look up at me, everybody. Look up at me. So our security then is in who we are, right? I'm a child, say it with me. I am a child of God. Our identity and security is based in and rooted in who we are, and secondly, what the Lord provides for us. Okay? Here it is in verse 16. From the fullness of God's grace, we have all received one blessing after another. So my identity is rooted in the continual flow of the supply of God's grace into our lives. We just read this past Wednesday night in our study through 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We heard the apostle Paul say, I'm the least of the apostles. And Paul said, I don't even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. And then Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And Paul says, his grace to me was not without effect. In other words, Paul says, I didn't deserve any of this, but God showed grace to me. He has made me who I am today. And not only that, his grace has been working powerfully. Paul will continue in that passage to say, I worked harder than everybody else I know. And then he says, but it wasn't me working. It was the grace of God working in me. So Paul said, who I am by the grace of God. And what I do by the grace of God. My identity is rooted in the Savior's supply. Thirdly, my identity is rooted in the sacred scriptures. Finally, verse 22, they said, well, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John replied, in the words of Isaiah the prophet. Notice, John used the scripture to declare who he was and what he was. He didn't depend on the world's assessment of him. Are you listening today? He didn't define himself by what the bullies at school would say about him. Are you awake this morning? He didn't define himself based on what, you know, the enemies at work were saying about him. Or even, he didn't even define himself based on what the people he was ministering to said about him. Because, you know, it would be easy when you're doing any kind of ministry to base your self-worth on the feedback that you get from people who are involved in the ministry that you're working with. And if somebody says, oh, that was a great message, Pastor, then you take joy in that. Look at me, everybody. I have been preaching for many years. You know that. There have been many Sundays when I have left the church. Elvis has left the building. You know, I'm the last one out. There have been many Sundays when I have left the church house and not one person has said to me, that was a great message today, Pastor. Many Sundays. Now, there have been many other Sundays when people have said, oh, that was a good word, that was for me. But when I leave on a Sunday afternoon from the church, how many of you know if I depended on the feedback from people, one Sunday I would resign and the next Sunday I would sign back up and the next Sunday I would resign and my life would be a yo-yo. And listen, my sense of self-worth and my sense of identity in what God has called me to do would be a big time yo-yo. I would have a nervous breakdown every time I didn't get the compliments that I wanted from somebody. Are you here this morning? We cannot depend upon the affirmation of others to build our self-identity. We have to build our lives on the Word of God. And we have to say whatever anybody else thinks about me, the first person, the first one who critiques my life and has the right to say anything about my life is the Lord himself. In fact, other people don't even know me inside and out like the Lord knows me. Are you here this morning? I have watched over the years. I worked with our district for many years. I have watched pastors minister in little bitty churches in small towns for years and years, faithfully breaking the bread of life for their people, collecting missionary offerings, sending in missionary offerings, praying for the sick, and ministering to people. And that's where God called them to. They were faithful in that ministry. And I want to say to you this morning, one day they're going to stand before the Lord, and the Lord is not going to say, "You pastor that church of 30 people, is that all you could do?" No. That's where the Lord placed them, and the Lord will say to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful at what I've appointed you to do." And so we have to learn, dear friends, that we've got to build our lives and ourself. When people say, "Well, what do you say about yourself?" Let's define ourselves by what God has to say about it. Are you awake this morning? Are you with me this morning? I have some declarations. Let's think about what the Word of God says about us as children of God. One, I am born again through the living and enduring Word of God. I am not my own, for I have been bought with a price. I am washed. Let's read them out loud together, can we? I am washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, a little faster, Hannah. Come on, roll them on there. I am redeemed from my old way of life by the precious blood of Christ. I am redeemed according to the riches of God's grace. I am redeemed from the curse of the law by the one who became a curse for me. I am set free from the law of sin and death. I am forgiven of my sins and cleansed from all unrighteousness. Somebody say hallelujah. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am rescued from the dominion of darkness, brought into the kingdom of the Son. I am chosen in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy in His sight. I was far away, but I am brought near to God through the blood of Christ. The Son has set me free, and I am free indeed. I am blessed by God. I am loved by God. I am sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy. I am kept strong till the end. I am more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. I am dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. I am no longer a slave, but a son and also an heir. I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Come on now. By His stripes, I have been healed. I am included in Christ. I am sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. I am in Christ Jesus. I am complete in Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. I am buried with Christ and raised with Him through faith in the power of God. I am alive with Christ. I am raised up with Christ and seated with Him in heavenly places. I am saved by grace through faith, not by works, but by the gift of God. I am God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. I am free from condemnation. I am reconciled to God through Christ. I am qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints. I am rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith, overflowing with gratitude. I am a fellow citizen with God's people and a member of God's household. I am a living stone being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I am light in the Lord. I am a child of the light and a child of the day. I am the light of the world. I am the salt of the earth. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am a partaker of the divine nature through the promises of God. I am a member of the chosen people, the royal priesthood, the holy nation. I am being transformed into His likeness with ever increasing glory. I am dearly loved. Hallelujah. I have access to the Father by the Holy Spirit. I have access to the throne of grace in time of need. I have everlasting life. I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. I am hidden with Christ in God. I am receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Thanks be to God who always leads me in triumph in Christ Jesus. Could you give the Lord a good amen? Listen. We have to build our self-identity upon the truths of the Word of God. John said, I am secure. My identity is rooted in salvation and sonship. It's rooted in the Savior's supply. My identity is rooted in the sacred scriptures. And lastly, my identity is rooted in serving at my station. Hear me. I want to be who God has called me to be. And I want to do what God has called me to do. Are you here this morning? John 1:23, John replied in conclusion to their questioning, I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord. And John the Baptist did that, didn't he? He preached all over the region, preaching, there's coming one after me. The shoelaces of his shoes, I'm not even worthy to tie up. I baptize you with water, but the one coming after me, he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There's coming one after me, John said. John got the people ready. There's coming one after me. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. The Messiah is coming. And John fulfilled, listen, John fulfilled God's calling upon his life. And his life was snuffed out. He himself had declared, I will become less. He will become more. And that's what happened. John served his generation well. He received the commendation and the affirmation of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, who called his work faithful. Let me ask you the question this morning. Who are you and what do you say about yourself? Are you living where God wants you to live? Are you who God wants you to be? Are you fulfilling God's calling upon your life, functioning as God has called you to function? Are you living for God, serving God? Our identity is found in being who God has called us to be and doing what God has called us to do. The scripture says that after David, King David, had fulfilled God's purpose for him in his generation, then he fell asleep. I would too, because it's so tiring to do all that, isn't it? He fell asleep. No, when David fulfilled God's purpose upon his life, his earthly life was finished. But thank God for the promise of eternal life and for the well done that's coming up ahead someday. Amen. Who are you? What do you say about yourself? I hope that everybody here in the house this morning can say, I'm a child of God. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to live my life rooted in him and fulfilling his purpose for my life. But if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus into your life, maybe you can't even say, well, I'm a child of God. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm saved through Jesus Christ. Maybe you can't say that. Well, the good news is the doors are open and the invitation is sent out far and wide to whosoever will say, I will hear the call of God to come into his family, to live the life he's called me to live, to be who he wants me to be, and to do what he wants me to do. I hope we can say that before we leave this service this morning. Can we stand together, please, everybody? And as we get ready to close the service this morning, let me just ask that question. Are there some of you here today, you've never received Jesus into your life as your Lord and Savior? And quite frankly, you are not where you are supposed to be in the Lord, and you're not living the way you're supposed to be living in the Lord. You can change all of that this morning as we go to prayer. You can receive Jesus into your life. Jesus, who died for you and rose from the dead to be your Lord and your Savior. You can receive Jesus into your life today. Come into the family of God and begin a brand new life lived in the purpose and calling of God for your life. If that's you this morning, can we bow our heads for just a moment? Is there anybody here today who would say, that's me, Pastor. I want to come to Jesus, receive him as my Savior, and begin a new life in the plan of God, in the calling of God, the purpose of God. If that's you, slip your hand up right now wherever you're standing. Hold it up and I'll see it wherever you are. I'm going to look across the sanctuary for just a minute right now. Anybody here? I want to receive Jesus into my life today. Please pray for me. Anyone? All right, look up at me, everybody, please. I want to urge you, people of God, first of all, I want to urge you this morning. We haven't had anyone come to Christ and receive salvation in the last several weeks. And we're not accustomed to that. We want better than that. I want to encourage you, people of God, to begin to bring unsaved people into the house. Are you here? Take the invite cards. Come on, take an invite card today. Get some out there. Give an invitation to somebody at the gas station, at the grocery store. Give an invitation to your neighbor. How many of you know we're not going to see people come to Christ if we don't bring them into the house? Could I have a better amen? Let's take our responsibility. John the Baptist pointed people to Jesus. Isn't that what you want to do? Me too. A great way to point them to Jesus, bring them on into the house, let them hear the gospel and the word of God, and get into a family of believers this morning. So let's do that. Look at me. How many of you today would at least say, I'm going to pray about being a better witness and a better inviter to people? How many would say, I'm going to at least pray about that the Lord will help me to be better at that? All right, most of you lifted your hands. The others, may the Lord convict you mightily, because we're called to that. I know we're called to that ministry by the word of God. So let's be about the Father's business, amen? And then let's build our lives more and more upon the assurances of God's word and his love for us, his amazing grace. And let's rest secure in who we are in Christ as we live out the life that he has called us to live. Amen. Now receive this blessing we've already sung this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Have a great day in the Lord.